So now we're going to look at Genesis 18 to help us stand in 2020 and believe. But because I don't teach, you know, scripture by scripture, and we don't have the time because we're like, the praise reports were so cool. We're going to focus in, though, on what I would call the elephant in the room. This is like the elephant in chapter 18, because the one big thing that glares out to me, so if it's to me, maybe to somebody else, which is verse 14. So it's kind of almost smack in the middle of the chapter. And is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm like, why would I have to teach on that one? Because I so many times think, Lord, this, you didn't come through on this, right? And he did. I mean, he has his ways. We don't see it. And if so, here's the deal. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's such a huge challenge for many of us. And as we're going into this year of spiritual warfare, and we're going to see just things happen. We're seeing it. It's getting worse and worse, isn't it? Things are just bad stuff happening. And then how do you take, is there anything too hard for you or for me? So how do you take that in light of all this bad stuff? And I'm like, well, Lord, I'm really bad at answering that for the world, because, you know, you say, well, you know, God is loving and he's good, and he hears. He listens to the cries of our heart. And then you're like, and we all have those difficult areas in our lives, like, you know, my mother with her dementia is getting worse, you know, and that's really just an ugly thing to see. And there's, you know, about 50% of the population now gets cancer. So that's like no fun. And we're just, then we have the autism rate rising, and there's just stuff going on. And it as Christians, this stuff just slaps you in the, you know, because we're supposed to have the answer, right? And we can, and you know, we can say, is anything too hard for the Lord? And say, no. But, you know, even as Christians, we can just go, oh, Lord, you're not looking good here. You really need to do something, right? Or we just, it's like, you don't want to give the trite answer because, you know, really it is a simple answer. It's not simple in, because, you know, to get to that answer, there's a lot of heartbreak. But it is that God is sovereign, and we know he's loving, and we know he's able, right? Because the truth is, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. So he's sovereign. He listens. I mean, that's the whole deal. If you, the second half of the chapter is with Abraham, right? God listens. He's and then he's moved. I mean, look at what happened. God moves and by our prayers. But it's hard to explain that to people who are mocking, right? You had Jesus on the cross. And that's the other, we're gonna see such an assault that our faith is going to have to endure, because we're going to see things and people are going to say, well, what? Where's your big God, right? And they mock, just like Jesus was on the cross, and they're saying, well, he saved others, himself he cannot save, right? But there's such a bigger, better picture than those mockers could see, right? Even the apostles, disciples, standing there, they were brokenhearted. They left out of fear and brokenheartedness, right? They didn't get it. They got it afterwards. But, you know, the assault against his power comes at us, right? And even in our own heart, we see that and we say that, right? And then we have, of course, there's Satan, right? And he's telling Jesus, well, why don't you just jump off the rock? And, you know, the angels will catch you, and why don't you just do this and do that? And Jesus doesn't. You know, God doesn't need to prove himself, right? Sometimes we'd like him to, you know, but that's not how it is. So, but does it make him less loving? It means what? It means he has better, higher ways than us, right? So just before we go into it, I'm just going to give you, we'll get to it, but here was my little statement of faith, because I thought in 2020, I really want to believe his promises better. You know, stand on him more, believe him better. I just want to really not doubt him, because it's so easy to doubt. Some people are like, I got it. You know, God's and there are those kind of more black and white people. I'm so not. You know, I'm all feelings and oh my God, hand wringing and oh, this is terrible. And so, this is for those of you who are like me. The others, you've got to handle. Good for you. I'm happy for you. But we are growing, right? We're all growing into that place of balance. And some might need to learn more of that compassion. Like, wow, I need some more of that like you, Denise. I'm like, well, suffer a little. I mean, not suffer like, I mean, it's like, you don't want to suffer like that. But, okay, so here's the bottom line. No, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Okay. So we're going to just look right now at Scriptures 9 through 14. And especially for those of you who are, again, either new or young in the Lord or just coming back. Let's just read it. Then said they to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, well, I will certainly read, this is God, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So let's just look at these little, five scriptures. So right now, this is our night. This is all about me time, okay? So when we're looking at Sarah, it's all about you. It's all about me. So Abraham, we can look at as an all about others. And our intercessors tonight, this is their all about others time, which is to pray for you who are needing all about me time. So Sarah is our picture of needing me time. So we're going to see what she was, and we're going to see what she became. Because we are Sarahs. We know, some of us, where we were, but we know where we're at. But we also have hope in what we can become, as we see looking at Sarah. So, if you look at these scriptures, we have a promise and a predicament, right? You have the promise, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. The predicament is what? They were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Then we have a reaction. Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old? Then we have a response from the Lord. And that response is a question, right? And then we have an answer. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So let's just go through. We see a promise, a reaction, a question. God reiterated a promise he had made to Abraham. So we know from chapter 17, you can see it over in 17:21. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. So he'd already said it to Abraham, and I'm sure Abraham didn't keep it to himself. So, but he's just reiterating it. And we know this, that in the time between 17 and 18, it's a short period, because when you have a year and you think, you know, female stuff, you know, it's less 3 months or less. So what we have here is God reiterating a promise he had made to Abraham. Sarah responded in her heart with unbelief, and some would even say it was cynicism. And I think that's not a big stretch if you look at yourself. You know, how many times have you ever come up cynical with something the Lord has said in his word or in a promise to you? And you're like, oh, yeah, all right, God, that's a good one. So God responded with a question to Sarah in her unbelief and her cynicism, which is anything too hard for the Lord? Okay, we got to ask, why did he ask a question? Why didn't he just put it in a statement form? There's nothing too hard for the Lord, but he asked a question. And it was a rhetorical question, right? Which means he doesn't want an answer from you, as if in the sense that, I really don't know the answer. I'm God, but would you tell me? Because I don't know the answer. That's a question where you really have the point is he's trying to make a point, and he's trying to bring a clarification. And I believe he was trying to let Sarah see what was in her own heart. So what she would have to state it, she would have to face her own unbelief, and she would also have to take that, and when you state something, it just helps it to be more real for you, right? And aren't we supposed to speak? It's with the mouth, we make confession, right? So there's something when you can literally speak it. It's not saying you're speaking it into an existence like a name it and claim it, but there is something to hearing it yourself even, right? Even when you hear, just read the word of God sometimes out loud, it helps you. There's just, okay, so we have a rhetorical question to make a point. He wanted Sarah to face the truth. And Sarah had an issue going on in her own heart, is really the bottom line. And it was with God. Can you say, the whole thing is that if you have unbelief, and we have unbelief, what are we saying to God? I mean, and it's not like you're a trip on us. You know, we all have imperfect faith, right? We're all growing. So she's just growing in her faith. And God is wanting to help her along, right? So looking at Sarah, so I was just pondering, because, you know, I get all feelings. And I'm like, oh, what was Sarah going through? If you look at Sarah's past, she grew up Ur of the Chaldees. And the way I'm bringing up her past, I mean, we can piece it together pretty easily, is that that will help us to understand her reaction to God's question of, is there anything too hard for me? So in the Ur of the Chaldees, we know this. It was a godless country. Worldly, she grew up in a worldly environment. Her mindset was worldly, right? That's at least how she started out. We know this. Most of them got married by the age of 20. What Mary, we figure, was 16, 17. So no doubt she was in her teens. So we also know women had their identity, right, in having children, right? It was probably also security with their husband, right? So she has, society now is not like looking upon her very well. You know, remember from Liz, there was a shame. So here we have a lady who, and here it goes, right? You have this guy who just adores you. Abraham just loved her, right? And month after month, I mean, you start out young, right? And there's, it wasn't like they had the pill back then. I don't know what they were, but, you know, because they wanted children. Sorry. So every month she's like, oh, I'm not pregnant. I'm not pregnant. How many times can you go over that? Month after month and year after year. You know, sometimes there's a callus that can go over your heart, right? You're hurt. And then how do you live with that? Well, in today's vernacular, you drink, or you do drugs, and you do things you shouldn't do, or you get really hard-hearted because you put something over your heart, right? Because it hurts, and you don't want to hurt. Nobody wants to hurt. So Sarah's going through this, and you have to face, okay, so Sarah is human, flesh, female, like us, right? That means, we know this, Satan was around way at the time of Adam, so that means he's been dissing people, ever since Adam and Eve, right? And we know this. What are his tactics, right? To steal, kill, and destroy. But also there's condemnation, right? He loves to condemn us. He loves lies and deceit, right? So Sarah has been, she's, oh, condemnation big. Can you imagine? You throw it on yourself enough, right? Then you have Satan throwing it on you, right? So here's this, and you know, here they are. They're called out of Ur of the Chaldees. And, you know, the minute you now they've got something going on with the Lord, right? And they're called out. And you know what happens? The minute you step in, you're drawing closer to the Lord, what happens? Satan ramps it up. So this is all, I believe, and I don't think this is a big stretch to say this is going on in her life, right? So by the time, and then we have, okay, so we get to the time of, so now we're thinking, we're talking years, right? Hagar, right? Now we're up to age 65, is it? And now we have Hagar. Here she is. She's still thinking worldly terms because, you know, nobody's perfect when you first come to the Lord. And we have Hagar. She suggests Hagar have the baby for Abraham, and then there you go. That's the fix-it. And it wasn't. So now what do you have? You have more self-condemnation. You have more Satan beating up on you. And, so now you have 13 years, and you're like, oh, man, I really blew it. That promise that he was telling Abraham, it's not going to happen through me. And you have to figure, you start going, I am a weight on my husband, right? He should get some younger, new and improved model going, right? But he's sticking with Sarah. How beautiful is that when you think of it? So then you have Sarah going through all this. So see, I get into this. I'm like, oh, what was this woman feeling? This is horrible. So now we're up to, she's 90, right? And God's moving, right? And he's telling her, you're gonna have a baby, you. And you know, you're like, well, number one, there's really no ability here going on, right? Zero. And then you have all of this stuff where you just kind of like, yeah, I'm over it, God. Moved on, right? We do that too. Moved on, over it. So you can understand how when God says, you are going to have a baby, you can understand her just like, you know what I mean? You have everything against you if you're age 90 in itself. That's in itself. I mean, here's so first child, yeah, right. So the whole point is that we get it, right? We come to those places in our lives where we're like, we can't believe God's going to work in our marriage, or somebody's dying in our family. I have an uncle who just came home to hospice today. So within a few days, you know, he's going to heaven. You know, and they're facing that. They're not strong Christians, but they're facing that now. You know, it's not going to happen the way, you know, it's not going to. He's not pulling out of it. He's going to heaven. I'm praying he's going to go to heaven. But anyway, so we have those places, right? And we get it. So anyway, that is to say, how did the Lord deal with her, though? What did he say to her after she laughed in her heart? Which was, he asked her the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And again, it's to bring her back around to say, no, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. And you know, sometimes when we say that, it comes through tears, because those tears and that admission is just a relief in saying, but I hurt, you know? This is painful, Lord. I know there's nothing too hard for you, but the situation is going from bad to worse. And then again, you have to say, but Lord, why? And those are the hard places again. Can you just accept that there's nothing too hard for the Lord? And we don't get the why many times on this side of heaven. Many times we do, and you look back and you go, Lord, I am so thankful that you did not, you know, let this happen, or I understand the beauty that you made out of this, right? And that's a place, again, of faith, right? Which is bringing us back to the John 6:28-29, which is the work that we're to do is the stand in faith. And that's what we're going to be doing in 2020. And more so, we're going to have that stand in faith. So we know this with Sarah, that where she was is not where she ended up. So where did she end up with her faith? And we know that if you didn't do your study, it's Hebrews 11:11. And you know, no condemnation if you didn't do your study, right? Let's get over that really quick. Okay, so in Hebrews 11:11, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. So what does that mean for us, though? It means that, number one, there is hope for us. If that's where Sarah came to, with all that she went through, that's where we can come to. Those promises, if we stand and we stand in that place of faith, and it's not like we have to jump through big hoops, right? Sometimes it feels like we are, though, right? When you're in the midst. And that's why we have people around us, and that's why we have the Word of God. You think, too, she didn't have the Word. She had the appearances, you know, through, and actually was to Abraham. But here, again, it's ramping up. We have the Lord, a personal appearance. Like, that's amazing. So let's take this situation, and especially if you're younger. I'm really not into formulas, because, like, we have the Lord's Prayer, and it's a great model and guide for us, right? But it's not the formula. And the nice thing is here, everybody knows it's not a formula. It's a good guide. My mother says it every night. That's one thing she can remember. So that's the one prayer. I'm like, Ma, we can break out of that. But you know, that's where she's at. But praise God, she can, number one, remember it and say it. So this is just to help anybody who is just going, I'm not quite sure how to do this. So kind of do your faith walk right now. So we have God's promise, right? We have your reaction. We have his response and your answer. So we're going to use these scriptures, and we're going to see And we're going to apply it. And we're going to apply it to promises that you're needing in your life, okay? So we have the promise, which is, I will certainly return to you according to time of life, right? So let's just take, we're going to look at God's promise, your reaction, his response, your answer. So we're going to look at three promises. The first has to do with our circumstances. The second has to do with ourself. And the third has to do with our salvation. This is sort of our little putting on our shoes to get walking down the path. And that is the first one, circumstances. What is the one that you start out as a young Christian and you keep it close to your heart all of your Christian life? Romans 8:28, right? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So that's our promise. And the predicament is whatever you have a predicament going on in your life, right? And you're like, yeah, right, God. So the reaction to this promise is what? Do you have that, yeah, right, God, I'm not buying that one over this situation? Or And that's not unusual for even mature Christians sometimes. I mean, let's face it, we don't have perfect faith. So we're all growing. So there's your scripture. You have your reaction. And then you have his question. What was his question? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then you have your answer. And again, that's that rhetorical question because he's asking you, what is your answer to that question? No, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you, right? And again, it's to bring you back to, Lord, okay, you're right. So then we have another promise, which is for ourselves. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And especially if you're younger in the Lord, and sometimes if you just plain have a feisty spirit, and you're just like, I just want to be rebellious. And, you know, it's not, for some people, they just are feisty. And you just are like, Lord, how can you stay near? Why do you not give up on me, right? And it's understandable. And I know I've thought, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And my reaction to that is like, you know, the usual, yeah, right. And the other thing is, God, I don't deserve you. I don't, you know, let's just move on from me and go focus on somebody else where you can really get something done and really make some sparkling Christian out of her, you know. And then his question, though, again, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is your nature too hard for the Lord to handle, to bring into conformity to the image of Jesus? I mean, you've got to. Don't look at yourself as a month away or even a year away, chipping away at that granite of your heart, of your nature, of your personality. It takes time. And then you figure 30 years later and you do something like really lame-o and you're like, oh, I thought that was way over, right? So, but again, is anything too hard for the Lord? And sometimes you have to keep coming back, no, Lord, I am not too hard for you. I am not that, you know, whatever, if you use the horse analogy again, you know, he can tame a wild donkey, let's put it that way. So now let's look at our salvation for those who can easily think they've lost their salvation, right? I love John 6:37 in the Amplified Version, which is, so again, we have the promise, all whom my Father gives and entrusts to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never, no, never reject one of them who comes to me. So the predicament is you're afraid you've either lost your salvation or you're never going to get it back or whatever. So, but what do we hear? You have that reaction. And so if that's where you're at, this is what we know. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You're not lost. It's not gone. It's not going to go. If you're really saved, right? We know this. Once saved, always saved. So you can rest in that. But you don't use it as a justifier, but you can know that, again, you're not too much for the Lord. And that salvation is, it's a forever deal. So you have your reaction, and his question again is anything too hard for me? And really, we can take that salvation and put it towards anyone we're praying for, right? Is anything too hard for me? Is that person's salvation too hard for me? He just asks us to do what? The Abraham. which is to pray on their behalf, interceding, right? And then you have your answer, no, Lord, there's nothing too hard for me. So what I just did, I thought, okay, this year, my little statement of faith that would help me, because we're all needing help. And you know, in the New Age, they do, New Age does these morning affirmations. I had a friend who was into that, and they do these, well, you know, whatever, it's okay. But, you know, the best affirmation is take the word of God, right? Read your devotion, take the word of God, and you speak them out. Just as an encouragement to yourself. I'm always for encouraging ourselves, encouraging others. But again, it's to build your faith. We have to build up our faith many times. So here's, my answer is, Lord, nothing's too hard for you. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways higher than mine and man's. I love you, Lord, and that means I can trust you to make all things work together for good. You make all things beautiful in your time and not mine. And that is good enough for me because you are enough for me. And I thought, Lord, I wanna live that one out this year, that he would be enough and everything before that would flow under that, that he is enough for me. So we know this, that in saying that many times, we can say it in the easy times and it can come out with joy. And then we can say that in the difficult times, and there's a cost, right? There's a cost of the pain of relinquishing our hopes and our dreams, our plans and our purposes. So can we really say nothing is too hard for the Lord? And that's what we'll be seeing in 2020. There's going to be a lot of challenges for us to say that. And how do we put that under the totality of Scripture, which means knowing the Word of God, right? Which means being in Bible study, not because it's a legal thing, but because that's what we need to build ourselves up so that we can stand strong, so that we can be the ones people can look to and say, that God is for real. And you know, with their God, nothing is too difficult. So I just wanted to end on this. We know this, that Sarah got her son, and she got so much more than what she was expecting, because we know from Genesis 17:16, it says, and I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. We don't always get life the way we expect, but God does so much better for us than what we could expect. We may not see it in the moment, and that's our place of having to stand in faith. But God is working, and we see this here. God is working, and he saw her. He came and did a personal visit and spoke this to her through the curtain. So if you're having trouble believing, and that's what it comes down to now tonight, let this be about you. This is you time. And we need you time, our self time, our all about me time with the Lord, right? And on Tuesday nights. But this is a place to come and get prayer. And we have ladies, and I can point them out to you. Get the prayer, right? They've been through it. Some of them are still in the middle of it. They can pray for you. Sometimes life can be a living hell, right? We know this. Sarah was in the place that many of us can be or will be in, right? We're all Sarahs, which means we're all maturing in our faith. It will take a lifetime. It took Sarah many, many years. We have a lot of the resources she didn't have. So God knows this. He didn't get mad at Sarah, you know, when she even lied about it. Like, I didn't really laugh in my heart. You like, can't lie to God, like, right? And so, but he wasn't mad or angry. He pointed it out to her, right? That's our God. He knows and he understands we're growing. So we all have a starting place, and that's what really counts. And tonight, this year, beginning of the year, we have a new starting place. That's our God. He's the God of new beginnings. So what I just wanted to hand out, and if there's like three or four people, I put these little papers. If you could hand them out really quickly and we'll read it. Oh, thank you. I'll just keep one. Thank you. So sweet. It's not like your little scheme to do something. So, but this is from C.H. Spurgeon, and it's from Morning and Evening. If you ever get his devotional, you can get it every day through blueletterbible.org. And it's called Better is the End of a Thing Than the Beginning Thereof. And this is, the date is December 30th, and it's based on Ecclesiastes 7:8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So if y'all have one yet, we'll just read it together. So I'll wait. I am so sorry. Look what time it is. So this is a portion of the devotional of the morning. So again, you can read it. Yeah. Does anybody get it? Spurgeon? So cool. And this was so us. This is so Sarah, right? And, you know, we're a bunch of Sarahs. So, okay, here it is. I'll just start reading and you'll get it. That rough-looking diamond is put upon the wheel of the lapidary. He cuts it on all sides. It loses much that seemed costly to itself. The king is crowned. The diadem is put upon the monarch's head with trumpets' joyful sound. A glittering ray flashes from that coronet, and it beams from that very diamond which was just now so sorely vexed by the lapidary. You may venture to compare yourself to such a diamond, for you are one of God's people, and this is the time of the cutting process. Let faith and patience have their perfect work, for in the day when the crown shall be set upon the head of the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, one ray of glory shall stream from you. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So, Lord, we just thank you that the end of our faith, the end of our character will be better than what it's been and where it is. Because we're looking to you, Lord, to do what we can't. And we love, Lord, that that's your heart, to let us lean into you and for you to do it all. And you just say, have faith, my child. So, Lord, we are yours. We thank you for your love over us. We bless you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we bless you. Amen.